graduating today. We had a special series that we started at Uprising Men's Conference this year called On the Map, but we wanted to bring that as a message for the entire church because there's a nuance to what this series is and where our church is going. And everything today is a great precursor and symbolism inside of what we're trying to do at Genesis Metro. At Genesis Metro, we believe that we can define what a win is. A win is always when people experience life change as they respond to God's word. In the first service, I don't know how many people we baptized, but it was a lot. And just to see the multi-generational people, couples getting baptized together, father and sons getting baptized together, that's always incredible to see. And then to see in this service, the fruit of a generation at Genesis Metro being raised up. Man, when I planted the church some 16, 17 years ago, Jordan always reminds us he was part of the team that planted the church. He was, I think, 1.5, something like that. I don't know that my mind could have imagined this day would come. And I think that all parents in here that are a little older know that it all goes by so fast. And today, as we're thinking about this theme of On the Map, well, we wanted to give our church, I wanted to give every couple in here, every student in here, we wanted to think about how do we get your life lived out for Christ on the map? How do we get your marriage on the map? How do we get your parenting on the map? How do we get your passion and your purpose to be on the map? And we gave every team at retreat a brand that was this 10-inch, 12-inch diameter circle, like a firebrand. And that was attached to this handle, like a shovel handle. And we always give them something that they carry around all week. And they don't know that what it means, but it's going to play into something later on. And obviously, these are Hebrew letters. If you were struggling with it, it's because it's right to left, not left to right. And so now that you have that, I'm sure that you figured out the puzzle. And so these guys were given these letters, and I'm sure to them they were just symbols of some kind. But they didn't realize that at the end of our big event, they were going to press this firebrand after they've heated it up to it's red hot and press it down into this piece of wood, and it was going to leave an imprint. It was going to burn into this piece of wood permanently, a truth that we believe every person in here needs. And it spelled out a three-pronged message out of a Joshua chapter 1. Last week, if you want to go catch up, it's online. The message was get ready. God comes to Joshua. It's time for them to cross over the Jordan River. They've been wandering around the wilderness for 40 years. And he said, get ready. Because in the next couple of days, the next 3 days, we're going to cross over. So we believe that there's a getting ready process if you want to cross over into the next season. If you want to experience life change, you have to get ready. Part of the getting ready process is getting rid of sin. We got to deal with sin. The Bible says that God made a way for us to deal with sin in Christ, that we can be forgiven of our sin. We can be washed white as snow. We can literally begin anew. And that every day that grace remains and that his mercies are made new. So we have to get ready by dealing with our sin and preparing for the moment to cross over. This week, we're going to look at verse 3. So verse 2 says, get ready. Tomorrow I'm going to give you the land that I promised. Verse 3, it says that every piece of ground that your foot touches is going to become your inheritance. This is a very, very unique promise because we see that there's a mixture between their effort and the result. And I want to get into that this morning. I want us to start thinking about this imprint that we wanted to leave on our men, this imprint that we want every family to have. Whenever we think about the different things that leave imprints on us, I was trying to think of different actors and like what was the role that put them on the map. And as I was talking with Titus, my middle son, I asked him a question. It's interesting, and I'll ask it to you. So we're going to do word association. when I say Tom Cruise, you say what movie? So it was interesting. For my generation, what put him on the map, I would say, is Top Gun. For this generation, it would probably be Mission Impossible. And shame on all of you that said Risky Business, okay? Just that was step one that we talked about. Get rid of your sin. And so anyway, it's interesting that the same actor played a different role and left a different imprint on multiple generations. You know, when I say Johnny Depp, you say, all right, he's Jack Sparrow, right? Some of you oddballs are like Edward Scissorhands. And so anyway, that's a long time ago. Who's your Spider-Man? Is it Toby, Andrew, or the new guy? I don't even acknowledge the new guy, okay? So anyway, it really depends on your generation. As we were thinking about the role, I think that what we would like to see at Genesis Metro is that God is the leading character playing a role that is the central pivotal point in the script that is your life. We would love for you to come in here, experience community, experience worship, experience a baptism service, whatever life groups, every ministry that we do, we're trying to leave an imprint on that next generation. Next generation, not only in age, but next generation of unbelievers that might come in, or Christians that are recovering from bad experiences or a wayward past. And there's a desire and there's an excitement. And so as we think about this message of every place that you walk is going to be what you inherit, I think we have to set up a simple dichotomy, a choice between two worlds. Option one, option two, option A, option B. Because there's two generations, one is passing away and one is entering in. And I think we have to ask an obvious question. Why is it that one generation entered into the promised land and one died in the wilderness? Because as I'm doing the computation, I'm constantly asking myself, in my mind, I think in formulas, like what is it that one generation didn't do that caused them to miss it? Because I don't want to do that. And then what did this generation do that allowed them to enter in? Because I want that to be part of my family, because I want my family to go where God has promised. And so I want you to think along with me, because in the New Testament, sometimes it gives commentary on the Old Testament. A lot of times it will actually summarize events that happened in the Old Testament. And Hebrews 3, verse 19, it actually gives a summary of why the previous generation that came out of Egypt did not enter in. You can look at it right there. It says they were unable to enter because of their unbelief. I think we could just distill that down into they were unable because of their unbelief. They were unable because of their unbelief. So if we're thinking about a process, if we want to change the product at the end, you can't keep doing the same process. So many of us, we carry our past process, right? When it comes to marriage, how you do marriage, generally speaking, it's how you saw marriage growing up. That's what you do. How you parent is how you were parented growing up. The thoughts that you think in your profession, if you go back to day one, and the type of mindset that you had, if you don't grow, if you don't change, on day 10 years, you have the same thought process. You can struggle, you can move from one career to the next, and your past processes keep producing the same fruit, even though you move in and out of relationships and places of where you work at. And so you have to start thinking about, do I want to change that? And you have to ask yourself, are you producing the big things that God intends for you to produce in your life? For instance, when you think about your marriage, is it producing joy? Like, is it a joy to be at your house? When you think about peace, is there peace? Is your most important relationships around you, are they producing peace? Because if they're not, then sometimes you have to take a look at making adjustments. Because you're going to keep producing whatever your process is. It says they were unable because of their unbelief. When we stand on this side of the Jordan River, the Bible says that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And there's no one in here that hasn't had a season where you wandered a little bit. Can I get an amen? Raise your hand if you ever wandered a little bit, okay? Yeah, everybody in here, you might be wandering this morning. If you were honest, your purpose is not to live out what God's best is for your life. And so you're wandering through. And the Bible says that wandering will keep you from God's best for your life. And at some point you have to step over on that land on the other side. And the only thing that's going to get you there is belief. Belief. Now consider this for just a moment. There were two opportunities at the same open door, right? One generation, the door was open, they could have walked in. They did not walk in. This next generation, the door was open and they walked across. So that tells me that there's something inside of us that resists opportunities that God is opening up for us. And I think a lot of times it's pride, honestly. I think it's stubbornness. I think maybe sometimes we think that we know better than God. Like, I know what God says, but like, this is the way I do it. Boy, that's a dangerous game, don't you think? I mean, the architect of the universe. I mean, I'd probably go with his will, not yours. And so I'm just saying that if you want the product to change the end result, the process has to change. And so you have to add belief to it. You have to believe that his way is better than yours. I think sometimes not only pride plays a part, I think sometimes fear. I think some people have an honest fear that's based in false thoughts of guilt, and maybe I'm almost taking advantage of God. I mean, I've lived so long without God. Now, if I switch over, it's like, well, I wasted all this time over here, and I mean, people aren't going to take me seriously, and what will be the ramifications? Because then if I start saying that I'm all about Jesus now, but all these other people know that I haven't been about Jesus, and there's a fear that people are going to judge you and people are going to not believe it's authentic. You know what? That doesn't matter. That really doesn't matter. Wouldn't it be better to know you're in God's will than to keep wandering and wasting time, wasting life, wasting opportunities? The door was open for both, but only one generation walked through the door. Man, if I could have a subtitle to today's message, it would be believe it. Believe it. Like at some point, you got to just believe it. Believe it that his way is better than my way every time. There's never been a time where his way wasn't going to be better in your life. I promise you, like, you go back and do the autopsy report on your bad decisions and ask yourself, had you done that God's way, would it have been better? Do you think it would have been better? Yes, the answer is yes. So if you get used to calibrating according to his process and his word, then you don't have to get yourself into so many bad situations. You don't have to waste and you don't have to wander. And so whenever we think about this promise, if one generation didn't enter into, let's think about the other one for the second half of the message. It says that belief got them to the other side. So belief, he said, every place your foot steps, it's yours. In other words, Joshua, you are your only limitation. When you cross over in belief, every place that you step, you are walking in victory. So God is saying that, yes, I will part the waters, and yes, I will get you to the other side, but effort is expected when we get there. Sometimes I think Christians are waiting for God to do it all. He's like, hey, I parted the river. I got you to the other side. I got you out of Egypt. But when you get to the other side, you got to walk it if you want it. And I just want to stop by and tell someone here today that you get to decide how much ground do you want to take in your marriage today? How much ground do you want to take for your kids of tomorrow. Because if you don't walk it, then you don't want it. But if you were willing to walk it today, they would have something to inherit tomorrow. So what this generation did that that generation didn't do is that they believed where their parents didn't believe. I'll wrap it up with this. Believe it. Believe it. At some point, just look at the person next to you. I want you to say it to them right now. Believe it. Just look at them right now. Say, believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Get ready. Every place that your foot touches, God says, if you will believe it, he will do this. Whenever he parted the waters, he said, I can make a way where there is no way, right? Now, some of you, I want you to give God some praise, because when you think about your life 5, 10, 20 years ago, if I would have said you'd be sitting here right now worshiping God in his, you couldn't have imagined. How could he get, when you think about your finances now compared to where they were, did he make a way where there was no way? Yeah, of course he did. Yes. He's the God that is able to do that. He can get you to the other side, even when it's dark. Even when you feel 100% alone, he can get you to the other side. For those of you that grew up in unbelieving households, as I did, you get to chart a course. He can take you places that your unbelieving parents never stepped into. And don't you want that? If you didn't have it, if you're a graduating senior and you didn't have it, let's build it. Parents, if you don't have it right now, let's build it. It's not too late. The door is open. Never let the enemy tell you that it's too late. The door is open. That your past mistakes disqualify you from the opportunity. No, the door is open today. God can position you exactly where he promised you. And he has said in 2 Corinthians, I forget the exact verse, all the promises of God in Christ are yes. You want to know what the answer is? Yes. Can God forgive you? Yes. Can God save you? Yes. Can God redeem you? Yes. Can God give you purpose and passion that you've never had before in your life? Yes. Can he put things back together that seem like they could never fit? Yes. Can he raise things that have died? 100%. You see, there's really nothing that God can't do if you believe. Let's pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would encourage every family here today, that we might give a message to every graduating senior, that God is able to move you to greater things than anything you could have possibly imagined. And even if you don't have all the tools that you need, in Christ, you have everything. For those of you that are trying to figure it out this morning, what is the formula for success in Frisco, Texas? It's the same as it was thousands of years ago, sitting on the bank of the Jordan River. Do you believe it? Are you willing to walk it? Are you willing to get ready by getting rid of your sin? Man, if we would say yes to that today, I think there's families in here that could experience life change. Wouldn't it be great if a family came in here today and they were new to Genesis Metro and God moved their hearts and all of them were turning their hearts back to God? Wouldn't that be incredible for families to get on the same page about what the purpose of life is, what our passions for life should be, what our profession should be aiming at instead of a payday? What if our aim was that God is gifting me so that I can invest in others? What if my aim was not about me in the marriage? What if it was about lifting up and laying down my life so that I can love better inside of the relationship? You see, The door is open, but you got to believe it in order to walk through it. Would you guys stand with us, and we're going to worship the God of the breakthrough today.